Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take up the topic of cheese and zero in a bit on, not a bit, a lot on cheddar cheese. I had a get-together this weekend at my home, and one of the things I served, it was a beer tasting, actually, and one of the things I served was a Hook's cheddar, and it was a wonderful accompaniment to several of the beers. And the guest today, Gordon Edgar, would probably agree with me. He's a San Francisco-based writer. He's been a judge at numerous national cheese competitions, board member for the California Artisan Cheese Guild, and is the author of the book I had a lot of fun reading. It's called Cheddar. It is, and I think there's a, what's the subtitle? A Journey to the Heart of America's Most Iconic Cheese. And so we're going to learn a lot about cheddar today as we visit with him. And I hope you'll join in. Do you have a favorite cheddar? You have questions about its history? Why do you love cheddar? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Gordon Edgar, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be talking to Wisconsin people about cheddar.
Well, yeah, where else, you know, where else are you going to get more interest in this cheese than in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I also find when I talk to Wisconsin people, you know, I have to kind of talk on a different level because, you know, generally they know so much more about cheese and cheddar than most other people I talk to. And this might have me, you know, on my toes here. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll definitely see. You had a funny part in your book where you were talking, where you say you ask a cab driver about cheddar cheese here in Wisconsin, you get kind of one sort of answer, and then when you ask the same question in Vermont, you get a totally different answer.
Well, exactly. You know, I've been to Wisconsin a lot on cheese trips, you know, because I'm also a cheese buyer. I've been a buyer for the store here, for the co-op here in San Francisco for 21 years. And so I've been to Wisconsin a bunch of times. And, you know, I find that, this is something I appreciate. This is not a put down, but I love that when I go to Wisconsin, like, there's not a lot of, like, respect for my position as a cheese buyer for 21 years. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you about Wisconsin cheddar, you know? And I get that from the cab drivers. I get that from anybody I talk to about it. I mean, it's kind of exciting, you know, to go to a place that that, you know, I don't want to overemphasize it, but, you know, to go to a place where people are actually really interested and they'll defend their favorites and they'll maybe put down some others and just tell you where the, you know, oh well, if you get curds at this place and not this place, you don't know what you're doing. You know, that kind of, I love that. And but yeah, I thought it would be just like that in Vermont, and you know, I don't want to put down Vermont because they make great cheese. I've had great times there, but you know, there's just not the excitement level. You know, I was saying in the book. You know, I thought I'd get the same reaction with my cab driver there, and I was like, oh, I'm here visiting cheddar makers, and the response I got was like, oh, what do you think about illegal immigrants? You know, you know, well, not the same love.
Not the same love at all. And how did you happen to, you tell a kind of a fun story about how you came to write this book with the world looking for the world's largest cheese.
Well, yeah, you know, ever since I was, I don't know why, but, you know, ever since I was a kid, I had a fascination with kind of, you know, roadside attractions, roadside monuments, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, I don't think I'm unusual in that, but I always really liked, you know, whether we were on family trips when I was little or when I was old enough to go by myself, I always loved to work in, you know, at big attractions, you know, the homemade attractions to my trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I had always, for some reason, just been fascinated by the world's largest cheddar, which, you know, was purported to be in Neillsville, Wisconsin. You know, even before I worked in cheese, I was like, oh, I got to go there. You know, right after I go to House on the Rock, I got to go there. but you know, I took a trip, and I never made it there because Neillsville's pretty far out of the way. I went on a trip with a friend who was moving cross country. I was helping her drive cross country, and I was like, "Well, we got to go see the world's largest cheese. That's my only demand. We got to go see it." And so you know, we kind of went a whole day out of our way, really. To
a couple hundred miles or whatever.
Yeah, a couple hundred miles. And when we get there, I mean, I honestly, I was expecting that kind of Wisconsin, you know, reaction that I'm used to of, you know, just real cheese excitement. I thought, you know, somehow I had envisioned the whole town being, you know, built around this, you know, replica of this, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, this, you know, the tens of thousand pound cheddar that was from the World's Fair, the Golden Giant is what it was called. And I kind of envisioned, you know, I mean, I didn't really think it would be like in the town square. I didn't really think that, but in my mind, I kind of elevated it. But then when I got there, it turned out the attraction was actually just the trailer
that carried it around.
The big cheese. And there was just a crate inside. It was a replica. It wasn't even the original crate. It was like a replica of the crate that once housed the giant cheddar. And I was a little disappointed. Yes.
Oh, man. But that somehow that turned into a book about cheddar.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting to look at, you know, things that we take for granted every day. I mean, you know, cheddar is something that, you know, most people don't, you know, you think about which ones you like and don't like, or, you know, your shopping list or whatever, but you don't really think, unless you're in the cheese business, about cheddar a whole lot. It's just something that is, you know. And I think that by examining something that is kind of at the point where you almost take it for granted, you can really learn a lot. And I think you really learn a lot just about, you know, our history and the way things kind of got to where they are. You know, so I when I went to that that, you know, trailer box, it wasn't, you know, I would have even been happy with like a styrofoam block spray painted orange that said that, but I was like, you know, there really needs to be, I mean, cheddar is a very important you know, thing in the cheese world, in terms of, you know, the farm economy, in terms of cheese making, and, you know, it really needs its own monument. And I'm not saying that I built that monument in this book, but this is my contribution to kind of commemorating cheddar and talking about it and talking about, you know, the way it kind of dovetails in with American food for, you know, a couple hundred years.
Well, it really is a fun read. So we get a lot of kind of a history of it, and then you look at the cheddar in the sort of the main states that produce cheddar, which is first and foremost, I guess, Wisconsin, but Vermont produces some pretty good cheddar, and California, you talk about California cheddars, and I think there's a couple of good ones there as well. And you get into cheese curds, and you get into macaroni and cheese early on. It was funny that you had... You talk about a contest where one of the winners, and this was maybe a little more of a highfalutin contest, but one,
yes, it was.
one of the winners actually then admitted that most of the cheese was Velveeta.
Yeah, you know, this one group of people was putting on these food events, and they were the really high profile food events. This wasn't like your state fair contest, you know.
No.
This was mostly like, you know, chefs and kind of high-end restaurants or sous chefs or something trying to make a name for themselves, kind of competing. And this one was on mac and cheese. It was actually the second one, so it was Return of the Mac. And it was it was definitely people trying to outdo themselves. And one person who entered, there was actually two sets of judges. I was with the kind of professional judges who gave out the big award, but then there was also a People's Choice Award. And the kind of professional judges, you know, we decided on our list of three, but the People's Choice was from the person who had used mostly Velveeta. and you know, and this is a crowd, that I would say, I think I can safely say, probably thinks of itself as a little above Velveeta. And so it caused this kind of shockwave through the room. You know, people were like, whoa, we just voted for Velveeta. And that was kind of the other impetus to working on the book, because I was thinking, you know, first of all, I don't really, even though I work at a cooperative grocery store, I don't really believe in food guilt. You know, I mean, I grew up on Velveeta. I grew up on Kraft
Singles. I did too. No.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think most people in the cheese business today probably did. You know, it has to do with when you're born and, you know, what was available. And I think it's very, very common. So, you know, the fact that can provoke emotion, you know, that like, oh no, I voted for Velveeta, you know, is there something wrong with me? You know, I really wanted to kind of examine that a little bit too. Cause I think that people's relationship to food, I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, I've worked in a grocery store my whole adult life, so I better find it interesting.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, in your chapter on mac and cheese, I have to say, there's a business here in a restaurant in Wisconsin called Max. And I don't know if you find a restaurants like it anywhere else. It's actually, there's one in Sun Prairie and a Max in Wisconsin Dells, and all they serve is macaroni and cheese. But the different kinds of macaroni and cheese you wouldn't believe. It's quite nice, and I don't know if anybody else has that concept or not, but it'll work in Wisconsin.
You're not going to be in Wisconsin next week, so maybe I'm going to try to make a little detour for that. That sounds great.
Yeah, actually you won't be that far from it. I should just mention, and let's, before I forget about it, you're going to be in Madison on the 24th, which is Saturday, right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm doing a class with Jeannie Carpenter, who's a
Jeannie's been on the show many times.
Oh, okay, well, you already know about her. You know, she's one of my favorite cheese people in the whole world, and she organized me coming out there to teach a class with her about cheddar and do a book signing, and that's at Metcalf's Market Westtown.
Yeah,
in Madison,
on Mineral Point Road. Yeah.
Yeah, there's tickets for that, and it's there's a few left as of yesterday, so I'm not sure what the status is right now, but you should definitely check that out if you want to go. It's it should be fun.
I unfortunately can't go, but I tell you right now, if I had not had a previous engagement, I'd be there for sure, because it. After reading your book, it's a class on cheddar cheese, and I can't imagine with you and Jeannie Carpenter it's got to be fun.
Well, yeah, and I will definitely be back to Wisconsin again. Probably not till, I'm busy selling cheese for the holidays pretty much after this trip, but after in 2016, I'm sure I will be back in Wisconsin and doing a few more events and stuff. You just can't really keep me away from Wisconsin anyway.
All right. Judy in Lafarge has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Oh, good day to both of you. Oh, and if you grew up in Wisconsin in the 50s and the 60s, there is just no Velveeta guilt. But my question, dear, is about, I now live in the Driftless area, and I'm close to Carr Valley Cheese, and I went and splurged and bought a 16-year-old cheddar, and it was absolutely something I had never really tasted before. But it had little crystals in it, and I was wondering, like a little bit of a crunchy, crystallized flavor in that aged cheddar. And I wondered if you knew what that was.
Absolutely. That's it's a sign of cheese aging. You get that when a cheese gets past a certain amount of years, and it's they're basically amino acids. It happens when the moisture evaporates during the cheese aging process, and they're called tyrosine. And it's funny because I think people are becoming more aware of those. I know we used to at the store sometimes people would return cheese and said, "Oh, it's got these crunchy bits in it. There's something wrong." but now I find that people are actually seeking those out. Generally it's a sign of good aging. Your cheese is aging well. As it gets that kind of those crystally bits, it tends to get more sweet as well. People come in asking for crunchy cheese now, which is definitely not something that people were doing 20 years ago. But yeah. Amino acids called tyrosine.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And I can tell you right now that Judy, for a 16-year-old Hooks, she probably, well, she would have spent a couple of bucks for sure. Their 20-year-old goes for about $200 a
Oh, I know. I was actually brought by one of the folks at Larry's Market in Milwaukee brought me a just tiny little piece of that when I was at the cheese conference. You know, I mean, we're talking, it wasn't even a quarter pound. It was, I mean, this was like, I don't know, like a 32nd of a pound. But it was good. It was good. It was very good.
Oh, man. Gordon Edgar, our guest today, he is the author of Cheddar, We're having a lot of fun talking with him about that cheese. Cheddar, the subtitle, A Journey to the Heart of America's Most Iconic Cheese. I really enjoyed reading it. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Give us a call. What about what questions might you have about cheddar or its history or why you love it? I hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, zeroing in on Cheddar, A Journey to the Heart of America's Most Iconic Cheese, with the author of that book, Gordon Edgar, who's going to be in town this coming Saturday, as a matter of fact, for a kind of a fun event on cheddar cheese at Metcalf Market on Westtown on Mineral Point Road. So little tickets are available for that. I believe there's a few left. So go on. We have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. So if you want to see if there's some tickets left, just go right there and you can find out if there's any available. And we had some Facebook comments, lots of people online too with questions, and there's emails. So let's take a Facebook from Karma, who said, Car Valley in Laval, many pages of cheddar available, but an awesome young one called Wildflower. And that's the that's the note. I don't know if you've had any Wildflower yet or not, but
well, you know, I haven't. But you know, during the conversation that we're having here, you know, Sid Cook's probably developed another cheese, you know, which is that's a compliment. I those Car Valley cheeses are great. And actually, you know, I talked to Sid during the writing of this book, and he was very helpful with helping with some history of Wisconsin cheese for sure.
Oh, that's great. And we can go back to that in a minute. But an email from Dave in Sauk City who said, in 1994, I went to England for a month and drove to Cheddar, England, tourist cave by a cheese factory where the quote-unquote original cheddar was supposed to have been invented. I bought a block of real cheddar there and brought it home to share. It tasted very different from Wisconsin cheddar, but I like both types. The original doesn't have bright orange dye in it. And England comes in a couple of different chapters in your book.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really talk about cheddar with, not talk about England a little bit. I mean, the book is American-focused just because, I needed to kind of bear down and look at it one thing. But yeah, you know, I mean, cheddar really, you know, it comes about, it's actually kind of a descendant of this cheese called Cantal, which is still being made, which has been made for centuries. But, you know, cheddar is a little denser cheese than that is. But, you know, it's been made, some version of it has been made since about the 11th century in England. It's probably that cheese wouldn't be necessarily recognizable exactly to us these days as a cheddar. But, you know, there's kind of a lineage that goes back that far for sure. Although it is funny that I don't think I put this in the book because it wasn't really a focus, but I was reading about how in the kind of the tourist areas around Cheddar Gorge in England, that much of the cheese you buy there is actually just Canadian cheddar. which isn't to denigrate English cheddar because, they still make some of the finest examples of cheddar, you know, on the planet. The Montgomery cheddar, for instance, is a traditional cloth-bound cheddar. Kind of cave-age cloth-bound cheddar. They make their own starters, and it's probably the closest, you know, or the most traditional cheddar made anywhere in the world, and it's an amazing cheese, and it has a lot of different flavors than a Vermont cheddar or Wisconsin cheddar, for sure.
Rennell in Brussels, Wisconsin, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know if he has seen Melvin the Mouse at Renard's Cheese in Door County.
Yes, I have. I have my picture with Melvin the Mouse.
I don't have
it available here. I'm sorry. I wish, you know, maybe later I'll try to put it up on the Facebook page, but it's somewhere.
That would be wonderful.
Archive.
post it up there. That'd be fun. Thanks, Rennell. Oh, man. Eric in Denmark, Wisconsin. How about you? What's on your mind?
So, you take a piece of, you know, a block of cheddar, you put it in the refrigerator, and it sits in there, maybe, in, you know, you put it in a plastic bag, and mold grows on it. And then you pull it out, and what I pulled it out, my grandpa used to say, well, you got to keep that on there. That's what your cheese is made out of. but I usually like to just slice that stuff off there and keep it off the cheeses. Is that all right to eat that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it generally won't hurt you. I think most people don't like the flavor of it very much. It's not an intentional thing from the cheesemaker. I mean, I think that that's what it kind of comes down to. You know, there's some people who, you know, on purpose introduce mold into their cheeses. You know, something like, the, you know, there's obviously blue cheese, but there's also like the Dunbarton blue, which is basically a cheddar that has blue, you know, added into it. But, you know, stuff like that, you know, it can go either way. As the grocery store worker in me would tell you to cut it off. You know, be safe, you know, just cut off the mold. You know, the person who also has a refrigerator at home would tell you, yeah, you know, it's fine to eat it if you like it. And if you don't like it, just cut it off.
Yeah, there we go. It's not going to kill you, though. Probably.
Probably.
Wade, and that's how's that for a great comment? Wade in Spring Valley, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering for your guest if, you know, he's been throughout Wisconsin, if he's ever been to a place called Ellsworth, Wisconsin. Basically, they have incredible cheddars, pepper jacks, everything, and they're known for the cheese curds. They are the cheese curd capital of the world. So maybe next time he's through, check it out.
All right. Ellsworth, Wisconsin. Have you ever been there?
I don't think that I have. You know, the funniest thing I think about the cultural difference with Wisconsin's relationship to cheese and the rest of the country is the fact that everywhere else you have to explain what a curd is. But not Wisconsin. I mean, it's kind of crazy. You know, like, you know, you have to start in any cheese class and do anything like that. You have to explain, like, okay, a curd is this. You know, you have milk. You coagulate. You get curds and whey. In Wisconsin, you know, people want to talk about curds, and I appreciate that about Wisconsin.
And you have a whole chapter on curds, as a matter of fact, and we are, I think we're, well, I don't know if we'd call us snobbish. I mean, we're really, really, I think, know what a good curd is compared to other places, let's put it that way.
You are well informed. but also, it's cultural, and it has to do with the makeup of Wisconsin, where, you know, in California, you know, you have these really large dairies dominate. You know, there are small dairies, there are farmstead dairies, but in general, large dairies dominate. Whereas in Wisconsin, you know, at one point there was a cheese factory every 6 miles. And at all those cheese factories, you know, once upon a time, at most of those cheese factories, you could buy fresh curd. You know, so people have grown up for generations eating, you know, fresh curd. And that just doesn't really exist anywhere else in the country.
Yeah, it's too bad. And you know, just to go, I want to, Lynn, I'll get to you in just a second from Coloma. But you write about the future of cheddar is fraught with increasing regulations, and they're sort of devised with the large cheese factories in mind instead of the artisanal cheesemakers. And that could really hurt the cheese business here in Wisconsin for sure, and I think for customers as well, for consumers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're in a really stressful moment. I would say for the cheese business, for all of food, pretty much after September 11th, it was the government decided to kind of redo all the food regulations in the country, and it's taken about this long for them to form up, which is this new set of regulations called the Food Safety Modernization Act, called FSMA. And, you know, really, you probably want a whole show on this, so I'll just be very brief. You know, whenever you make, you know, nationwide regulations, you know, they're generally geared for very large production facilities because, you know, and to put it from their point of view, the government's trying to protect the most amount of people possible. So, but the problem is that small producers can sometimes get caught up in regulations that don't make sense for them. There's not much understanding about raw milk cheese on a national level, in the FDA level. And that's something that's really scary to small cheesemakers, farmstead cheesemakers, raw milk cheesemakers. And so while that's kind of being fought out right now, just seeing what happens, and I shouldn't get into too much detail with the time we have, but I would say that people should be ready to be to fight some regulations that might put some small cheesemakers out of business.
Yeah. We'll turn to maybe to happier things here with Lynn and Coloma. Hi, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that sounds like the wooden boards compared to having to use stainless steel, so I'm not getting there either. But my husband's family is originally from New Bedford, Massachusetts, in upstate New York, and they won't eat the cheese with the Aneto coloring in it. It has to be white, and it has to be sharp, and it has to be hard as a rock. And and they won't eat apple pie without their cheddar cheese on it. But I did find a good cranberry cheddar up at Stone Ridge grocery store in Wautoma that's just delicious. So, but he looks at me and he like rolls his eyes like, how could you adulterate good cheddar cranberry?
Well, that's definitely, you know, cheddar is a fairly regional taste. People in the Northeast, you know, they want their cheddar to be bitter, and you know, they think of that as positive. You know, it's like a bitter, sharp, hard cheese. And it has to do with, you know, what the cows eat, you know, traditionally speaking, what the cows used to eat up there and the way the water is up there. And you know, you get a very particular taste from that, and you get a very different taste from Wisconsin cheddar. And I'd say I always know when somebody from Wisconsin comes to the store for three reasons. They definitely want curds. They mm-hmm. want Colby cheese. And they want orange cheese. It's definitely a tell. Although other places also like their cheese orange as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Lynn, for calling. And by the way, on the topic of dye, somebody else wondered if you've ever heard of anybody having an allergy to the coloring used in the dye, or in the cheese.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I heard most cheese is dyed with annatto, which is comes from a bean. You know, I've heard rumors of some people maybe having an allergic reaction to that, but I've never really been able to track down a scientific study on that. People have in the past dyed their cheese with other things as well. That pretty much doesn't happen anymore, and I think that there was some allergy related issues there. I'd say that the most I'll stop there, because that's something that I don't know about. I've been trying to look into, because you know, as a co-op, that's the kind of thing that we like to be on top of.
Yeah, absolutely. So you sell a lot of cheese at that co-op. It must be a big co-op.
It is. It's it's where the store, the retail store, is about 3,000 square feet.
Okay.
So it's a big place. It's a big, we're kind of the largest independent supermarket in San Francisco. It's a big place. We sold, it's funny, I was doing some numbers the other day, and we sold we're just talking mild cheddar here. We're not talking about all the Hook's cheddar, the Widmer cheddar, any of the other cheddars, but just the plain old mild cheddar. We sold 2.5 tons last year. So. That's a lot of cheese.
That is a lot of cheese. Oh, man. Kevin in Madison has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because I was wondering if your caller has ever been to this cheese place. Unfortunately, I can't remember the name. It's a German name in near Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. It has multiple different cheddars. One of my favorite is the Applejack and the Blueberry cheddar. I will take my answer off the air.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. I can't think of it either.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I have to say, I wish I brought a Wisconsin map with me today, but I didn't.
Yeah, well,
I know where he's calling from. But off the top of my head, I'm not sure what company that would be. I'm sorry.
The cheddar, and before we go to Reed in Clintonville, I wanted to mention, you talked about cheddar with a blue vein, right? You know, speaking of cheddar cheeses that are done differently, and I'm suddenly blanked on the name of the cheese.
Yeah, that's the Dunbarton Blue.
That's it.
Raleigh Cheese Company.
That is really good.
That is an amazing cheese. You know, and it's funny because, you know, when you talk about real traditional cheddars, most cheddars today are made in, they're aged in, you know, in plastic, basically. But the traditional cheddars are have a cloth rind around, a cloth bandage around them, and then they're aged in aging rooms where they're rotated, and it's much more porous rind. With those traditional cheeses, you often get some blue molding coming in from the outside of the wheel, and we always had customers who were looking for those pieces. They're like, "Oh, do you have any with the blue mold on it?" You know, like that caller earlier was talking about the cheddar of their fridge. But basically, Chris Raleigh decided to do that on purpose and make this really amazing cheese, which is, you know, honestly one of my favorite cheeses in the whole country. And it's a traditional cheddar with blue veins, and it's really something.
Oh, it is really, really good. And Chris Raleigh. It's a great story, and you tell the story in the book. We won't go into it now, but you have a great story in the book about how he put it together and kind of the skullduggery a little bit that had to go on for him to make it. I thought that was a fun story in and of itself within your book. But Reed in Clintonville has a question or a comment anyway. Hi, Reed. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, gents. Well, you did steal one of my comments, and that was a great cheddar blue. There's nothing like a good cheddar blue. And also, there's nothing like cheddar rind. The rind is always the best part of the cheese. I was going to recommend Nalas, N-A-L-A-S, fromagerie in Green Bay for a source for absolutely excellent choice of cheddars and excellent cheddars also. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I'd like to say is just a quick story. Our oldest son went to college at St. John's College, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Great books, no Jim on their sweatshirt, but when he went through the cafeteria line and the first time they had cheese, and he was hoping, of course, for a good cheddar, the question was, do you want white or yellow cheese? And that was it. So those things said, I'll hang up and listen. It's a wonderful program, and thank you so much for having it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Well, if you got a comment for that one, Gordon?
I think it speaks for itself, really.
I loved it. White or yellow? Well, I have to say, I was not here. I'm talking about a long time ago when I was just a young guy. I was in. I wound up at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad for a year, and I went to the supermarket to buy cheese, and I'm looking, and I see the sign that says cheddar cheese, and it's white. What do you mean, white? I bought some and tried it, and I said, well, it tastes just like cheddar, except it's white. So that was a long, long time ago, and there have been many, many pounds of cheddar cheese on my table over the years, for sure. Somebody else asked you this question. I saw this somewhere. What do you want people to take away from your book?
Well, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think that, you know, in some ways my book, I feel like, is just kind of, it's an offering.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in cheese for a long time, and I just really wanted to explore the history of this. I mean, I want people to take away a better understanding of the American food system, which cheddar really, at some point, echoes it, and some point, it kind of moves it. Just the way that cheddar went from a farm-produced cheese, you know, farm-produced product, to being something that is now produced mostly, you know, if we're talking about pure numbers, you know, in large factories where, you know, it's kind of untouched by human hands. You know, that's a trajectory of the way that American food has gone. But yet it's also, at the same time, there's been a renaissance in the last, you know, 20, 25 years of people really making new, interesting, amazing cheeses, including cheddars, including different types of cheddars, and including going back and making more traditional cheddars. So I really want people to just, you know, think about their food. I guess that would be the takeaway there. Think about your food.
Think about your food. And someone called in and said the Beaver Dam place is probably, and I think this is right, Schultz's Cheese House is probably the cheese place the guy was talking about. I want to go back to for a minute to your event on Saturday at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. at Metcalf Market in Westtown. And you'll be on with Jeannie Carpenter. And tell us again what you're going to be doing there.
Well, we're doing a cheese class. We're going to taste four cheddars and talk about cheddar for an hour. And it's going to be great. I'll also be signing books. You know, I'm also doing another event. I don't know if if your show is also in Milwaukee.
Yes, but, yeah, we're statewide. So.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, that's what I thought. You sound statewide.
Mm-hmm.
but that same day, I'm driving from Madison to Milwaukee and doing a signing at Larry's Market in Milwaukee as well. That's larrysmarket.com. And it's we're doing a signing from 4 to 5, and then probably, if my voice holds out after this trip, a reading at 5 o'clock. So there's also that.
And that's at Larry's Market. Okay. In Brown Deer. Market. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that is I'm glad you brought that up. Dan in Madison has a question for you. Let's get that. Dan, thank you for calling.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I just have one quick question for you here. I love blue cheese. I love Gorgonzola particularly. And I'm wondering if it's okay to eat mold. You know, I know the blue in blue is obviously mold, and mold likes to grow on cheese. Is it okay to eat mold that grows on cheese?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, generally, yes. I mean, you know, if you're a microbiologist, if you had access to a microbiology lab and you could look into it, you know, there might be some bad critters potentially, but generally the blue on a blue cheese like that is coming from the cheese itself, and so usually it's totally fine. And certainly the cheese inside is totally fine to eat. Some people would even claim it has medicinal properties. I probably wouldn't go that far, but some people have claimed that.
All right. Now, I need to have from you your favorite. You know, you mentioned one cheddar that you really liked, the Raleigh's, I believe. But what are your favorite cheddars?
Well, you know, Wisconsin cheddars, of course. No, I mean, I can appreciate a number of different cheddars. I think that, you know, Wisconsin does make kind of makes some of the most cheddars. There are more cheddar producers in Wisconsin than a lot of other places, and they make great ones. I mean, you know, we already talked about Carr Valley and Hooks and Widmer. They all make great cheese. There's also the Bluemont cheddar that William Lehner makes, which is, you know, really one of the most phenomenal cheddars in the world. Henning's over there makes your Mammoth cheddars. They're the last producers in the country of Mammoth cheddars.
Yeah.
I, in fact, bought a 500-pound cheddar from Henning's once.
Oh, my goodness.
Cheddar. And I'd say if you look elsewhere, if you want, like, examples of good cheddars from elsewhere, if you want to try a non-Wisconsin cheddar, you know, the Fiscalini cloth-bound in California from basically my backyard, relatively speaking. You know, it's the most kind of traditionally English one made in the U.S., and it's really a phenomenal cheese. And it has different flavor components. It's more like earthy, dank, you know, meaty. It's a really interesting cheese. And, you know, then there's the Cabot cloth-bound cheddar that is aged at this company called Jasper Hill, who ages cheese. And that's one that's probably the best-selling traditional cheddar in the country, meaning that it's cloth-bound not waxed. And that's a really phenomenal cheese, but, you know, there's a lot of great cheddars,
and you've got a great cheddar book. Gordon, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you. I think this is going to be my best radio interview, period. I can just tell already.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and if there was any way I could get over to Metcalf's on Saturday, I will do it. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you.
Gordon Edgar is the author of Cheddar, A Journey to the Heart of America's Most Iconic Cheese. And he joins us from his home in San Francisco, from his business in San Francisco. It's great to have him along to talk about what else? Cheddar cheese? I mean, what could be more American? Well, it's in England. It was all right. So it was first developed in England, but it's an American product, and it's definitely a Wisconsin product. When you think about cheddar cheese, I think most people in the U.S. would probably, or many of them at least, would think first of Wisconsin when it comes to cheddar cheese. And when it comes to the flu season, you know what I think about? I think about flu shots and whether or not to get one. Well, there's no question in my mind you get one. And we're going to be talking about why to get a flu shot and a whole lot more with our guest, Dr. Jim Conway, coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.